Good morning. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my God, thank you so much. That's just gorgeous. We're in March, and the theme for March is rooted in truth, as we are, all the time. I mean, we're rooted in truth all the time. There's only spirit, right? So last week, we spoke to the power, which is spirit, which is truth, which is what we are. And today, we're going to talk about the presence. And the presence is just all around us. The idea of the presence, which is spirit, all around us, within us, in the material that makes up our bodies, in everything in the manifest universe, and occupying the space in between everything. That's the presence. It's all there is and everything in it. It's like water to fish and air to birds. That's what the presence is for us. It is everything and everyone and everywhere within us and around us. Spirit, you know, you've heard the expression, right? Whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Meaning that there is no end to it. There is no edge to it. The energy, which is spirit, occupies everything and every space. It's all around us, all the time. There's no place we can go to get outside of it or get away from it or be apart from it. Brené Brown said, our connection to each other cannot be severed, but it can be forgotten. And I'd like to think the same is true of our connection with spirit, as spirit, immersed in spirit. It's the same sort of thing. It cannot be severed, but it can be forgotten. Well, it can and does get forgotten, doesn't it? You know, those times in your life where you think you're like miles away from God, like where's God here? Well, God's here all the time. You know, who moved? Who moved, right? So what we know is core concept one, and we talk about it all the time. Core concept one, God is all there is, right? That's what we say all the time. God is all there is, which means there's nothing outside of that. There's nothing outside of the energy of God. And you don't hear us say, God is all there is except. God is all there is except my condition, my circumstance, my situation. You don't understand. But mine is different, right? I'm the one and only exception to God's presence everywhere. It doesn't work in my life. My little corner of the world lies outside of spirit. It doesn't. Nowhere, nowhere, no how can it. None of that is true, but like I said, we forget. We can forget sometimes and feel that way. It doesn't mean it's true. We just feel that way sometimes. We forget. We forget spirit is everywhere, in everyone, as everyone. We sink into the conditions. You know in the teaching symbol how there's three kind of spaces, three aspects of spirit, and down the bottom is the manifest universe or the conditions. We tend to sink into the conditions of our lives, don't we, sometimes? And we forget that the conditions are only temporary. We forget that the conditions are the outpicturing of our thoughts. And therefore, it is the result of our thinking, the conditions are not the truth of us. And we believe, when we sink into those conditions, we believe that the conditions have power over us, and then we go about trying to fix the conditions, right, instead of fixing our consciousness. We go around trying to fix things at the level of the conditions. We forget we are some part of the power and the presence that causes the conditions, not subject to them. But we forget. And when we forget, we speak into the conditions, don't we? We speak into the conditions. We try to fix them as if, you know? When what we really need to do is we need to remember that we are the ones that are at choice. Maybe we didn't cause the condition, you know? Maybe we're not the ones who caused the conditions that we're in at the moment, but we are always at choice regarding the thoughts around the conditions. Can you hear that? Can you really hear that? We are not always in charge of what's happening to us, but we are always in charge about how to think about what's happening to us. And that's where the gratitude practice comes in. That's where that specific practice of gratitude is so important. In Thessalonians, right, it says, in everything, give thanks. Right? It doesn't say just give thanks for the good stuff. It says, in everything, give thanks. This is the attitude of gratitude. This is being grateful for life itself. Even the stuff that blindsides us, even the unexpected, even the unpleasant, even the unwanted things that happen. Be thankful in all of that. When we are in that attitude of gratitude, when we are resonating in gratitude, we're resonating at a higher vibration, so we're not sinking into the condition. Gratitude keeps us in truth. Being grateful doesn't allow us to sink into the false belief that we have to fix the condition. Gratitude for all things, even the weird stuff, you know, even the unwanted stuff, because we don't know where it's leading us. How many times have you had something horrible happen and then 6 months later or a year later say, oh my God, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, right? Like getting fired from your job or somebody leaving or, you know, it just turns into, oh, this is a greater thing that is unfolding in my life. Ernest Holmes said this about stating our word. He said, the reason we can state our word with thanksgiving, right? That's gratitude, the attitude of gratitude, is because we know from the beginning that we are to receive. And therefore, we cannot help but be thankful. The grateful attitude to the Spirit puts us in very close touch with the power and adds much to the reality of the thing we are dealing with. So it keeps us up in the cause. Gratitude keeps us from sinking down in the condition. So in everything, give thanks. Now, we may not be thankful for something, right? We may not be thankful for everything, but we are grateful in all things. Resonating with that attitude of gratefulness is healing. It's healing. It keeps us in cause. It keeps us in that higher vibration of spirit up in the top part of the teaching symbol. It's expansive, and it opens us up for the potential to change, right? For the potential of things to change. It keeps us in that that limitless, you know, possibility. That's where we're opening to. When we're grateful in all things, it opens us up for even a greater thing to happen. Being in that vibration opens us up to that limitless potential. And that's where the power to change things comes from. And then we just resonate right in there. Brother Lawrence, did anybody see that little book? You know that little book? We have it in the bookstore. This little book? Yes? Anybody? Okay, in this little book, Brother Lawrence writes, I love him, he was like a 17th century monk, 1600s, 16 something he lived. He was brilliant. Anyway, he said this. He said, this trust, right, relying on spirit, this trust must be unreserved with no thought of reward. But inevitably, God does reward the person who so believes and endures with graces and treasures far beyond sacrifices or offerings he or she has made, since God is infinitely good. So it's about being grateful for no reason. Not because you got something, or not because you're praying for something, or not because you're anticipating things changing. You're just being grateful to be grateful. Just being grateful to be grateful. And things change, right? God changes conditions around us. When we dwell in the good that is God, in the presence, when we remember it, we are open and available for that good to flow into our lives and change conditions around us. You know, someone said the other day, you know, realize this, we are all 2 minutes away from death. Just think about it for a second. We are all 2 minutes away from death. And then we inhale again and we reset the clock. Okay, we inhale again and reset the clock. We have to resonate in the attitude of gratitude. We have to know this. We have to know every breath is a gift. We have to remember every moment is a treasure. And we have to remember every day is priceless. We do that when we dwell in the presence. Ernest Holmes, in The Power of an Idea, he said, gratitude is not only a virtue, but also a part of this practical philosophy of daily life. There is no wiser way of living than to remember every morning what life has given to us and to lift up our thought in thankfulness for every bounty we possess. So in all things, be grateful. In all things, it's remembering. Remembering is living in that consciousness. Living in the consciousness of the presence. So, sounds easy, right? What keeps us from doing that every day? It sounds real easy. What keeps us from being in that perfect state of bliss 24 hours a day, right? I think we forget. We sink into the conditions. We think the conditions are real or truth. And we don't think the conditions are going to change, right? Oh my God, I'm here. I'm going to be stuck here forever. I think we forget that conditions change all the time. They change all the time. We think the conditions say something about us too, don't they? Right? Don't we think that? We think the conditions say something about us. We make it mean something. We make the condition mean something. In religious science, we know the truth. We know we're all one. We know we're all in it together. We know we are all some part of the life of spirit. We know we are individualized centers of this energy, and that everyone around us is doing the same thing with the same energy, right? We are all utilizing this same energy. We are all out picturing with this same energy. So truly, we are all one. Core concept one, right? We are all one. We are interconnected with each other, all of us, and with spirit, and as spirit. And we can't sever that connection, but we do forget it. And in our amnesia of forgetting it, we forget who we are. We think we can be cast out, and we think we can be forgotten or rejected or banished. God, right? Banishment means certain death, doesn't it? You know, back here, somewhere in our reptilian brain, to be banished from our tribe meant certain death. We couldn't live alone in those days. No food, no shelter, right? We needed the group. So if connection is our universal longing, rejection is our universal fear. It just is. So the original sin is really not good enough. It's not eating the apple. The original sin is not good enough, that false belief. When we forget who we are, we falsely believe that we are cast out. Instead of being in connection all the time, we can't sever the connection, but we can mistakenly believe we're not part. And when we forget, we start constructing facades for ourselves of who we want the world to think we are. Right? Anybody got a mask? We create an image and a likeness of ourselves. Patty 2.0, the upgrade. It's not me, it's the public me. It's the me I want people to believe I am. Because if you found out who I really was, if I laid my vulnerability out for everybody to see, the mixed bag of emotions and fears and doubts and desires, you'd run screaming from that room. Right? Would you? And then I get banished and then I die. That's what it is, right? Then we get banished and then we die. So we construct these masks to steal ourselves from having to feel that vulnerability. To having to feel that vulnerability and to live out loud like that. We steal ourselves from that authentic feeling by constructing these masks. Now, the challenge with that is we cannot authentically connect to someone's mask. Just can't be done. At some point, we have to take it off and let our authentic self be seen. Let our authentic self be in the world. At some point, we have to drop it. Because here's the thing, when we steal ourselves against feeling vulnerable, we blunt all the other feelings too. When we protect ourselves from feeling vulnerable, when we put up barriers, when we put up this mask so that nobody can know our real self, We don't feel that vulnerability. We don't feel the other things either. We don't feel the joy. We don't feel the love. We don't feel the peace. We don't feel the harmony. We don't feel any of those other things either, because we've walled ourselves off. We don't allow ourselves to feel the qualities of God because we're so protecting ourselves. You know, there's an old saying that says, everything you desire is on the other side of your fear. Did you ever see that? I know there's like posters that say that and sayings. Everything you desire is on the other side of your fear. Great saying. However, what it doesn't say is that you have to go through your vulnerability to get there. And vulnerability is one of those things we really don't like. Or at least it's me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't like it. You know, just don't. But we have to risk it in order to be the authentic self in the world, warts and all. We have to risk it. We have to drop the mask. We have to be ourselves. If that is living in the presence. That's living the authentic life of spirit as us. Why do you think you're here? You're here because you're an individualization of spirit. If you weren't necessary, you wouldn't be here. There's 7.5 billion of us walking around on earth. Each and every one of them are a necessary and needed expression of spirit, or else they wouldn't be here. Nothing is extraneous, right? So we have to be authentic. We have to be vulnerable, even if it means exposing our weaknesses along with our strengths. Yeah, right? It's messy. It's gross. And here's what happens, though. Here's the interesting thing. In exposing our vulnerability, our authentic parts, pieces and parts, everything, in exposing that, our vulnerability becomes our strength, doesn't it? We lose the need to hide it. We lose that. We lose the shame that causes us to hide it to begin with. So when we lose the need to hide it or ignore it or deny it, we embrace our vulnerability. Our vulnerability becomes one of our strengths. Then we lose the mask. We lose the mask. We lose the need to suffocate the feelings of inadequacy, of not enoughness. Then we're truly living in the presence, authentically as ourselves. We're dropping the mask. We live authentically as ourselves in the world, in the presence, immersed in the presence, consciously knowing we are immersed in the presence. We have everything we need and everything it brings. Everything it brings. The highs and the lows and the bliss and the grief and the gains and the losses. Everything. Everything. Brené Brown, in one of her last books, I can't remember which one it is. Maybe it's Rising Strong. I don't remember. Anyway. Daring Greatly. She said she got all of her degrees in social work. She got her bachelor's in social work and her master's in social work and her PhD in social work. So she was like immersed in social work, but she's also a researcher. So she said all of her colleagues said, life's messy, love it. And that just gave her the creeps. She said, she's a researcher too. So what she said was, life's messy, clean it up. Clean it up, find a box, put it in, organize it, you know, do that thing. And so here we are as religious scientists, and what do we know? We know both and, right? We know both and. Life's messy, love it, and clean it up. Clean it up. Love it and clean it up. We say both. Heal those disowned parts. Heal that shame that caused you to put the mask on to begin with. Stop protecting yourself from vulnerability by numbing it. By drinking it away, or shopping it away, or eating it away. Start moving through the shame that caused you to put the mask on to begin with, and get to the other side of it. And in order to do that, we have to remember. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember we are the presence in form. That there's not me and God. That there is just God in this form. There's God in that form, and in that form, and in that form. God is just showing up all over the place in all different kinds of forms. We have to remember who we are. We have to remember we're immersed in the presence, and the presence is immersed in us. Find your woke word. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. What's that word that's going to remind you when you have sunk into the conditions, and you're busy trying to rearrange the conditions, trying to fix the problem? What is that word you can come to remember who you are? right? For some people, it's choice. I am always at choice. Great word. I am always at choice. Tattoo it. No, don't. Maybe get a bracelet. Something you can take off. I'm always at choice. Choice is a great word. When we remember that, even in the middle of our conditions, we remember who we are. We remember who we are. We're just right in the middle of we're trying to fix stuff. We go, but wait, I'm at choice. But wait, I am choice. I'm above the conditions, not under them. For others, it might be freedom. We use that word freedom in financial freedom class, right? We ask ourselves the question, if this were true for me, would I be more free? So maybe freedom is the word. So when we get stuck in our story, when we're trying to fix things in the conditions, knowing they're going to change anyway, maybe our word is freedom. If this were true for me, would I be more free? I don't know. What about the word power? What about this stupid microphone? Sorry. There's something weird going on. Anyway, what about power, the word power? I am co-creating with a power that alters conditions. That's a great affirmation. There's one that'll help you remember. I co-create with a power that alters conditions. We are above the conditions, not subject to them. Maybe your woke word is wisdom. Try saying that three times fast. Maybe your woke word is wisdom. Spirit's wisdom guides and directs me every step of the way. Spirit's wisdom guides and directs me every step of the way. There is a word, there's a phrase, there's something that can wake us up. Something that can wake us up when we're in the middle of our story that reminds us, oh my God, I'm not my story. I'm truth. I'm truth in form. I'm the power and the presence of Spirit. I am absolutely dwelling in the power and presence of Spirit. I'm above conditions, not subject to them. There's got to be a phrase that we can use. I mean, we all don't need the same one. Use one that works for you. I'm not, because when we forget we're in the conditions, we're not in the cause. We have forgotten some part of us is the eternal presence of Spirit. And so do whatever you need to do to remember that. Use whatever word, whatever phrase, whatever your woke word is. Use that when you start getting hooked. We all start getting hooked by our conditions. And we start taking them seriously. What was it, Maxine Kay at the... Reverend Maxine Kay, she's been in ministry 41 years, could you imagine? Anyway, she was at the convention and she said, everything is sacred, nothing is serious. I love that. Everything is sacred, nothing is serious. So when we start getting hooked by our conditions, we're taking them seriously. So find your word, find your phrase, find your affirmation. Remind yourself to awaken. Awaken to the presence that is surrounding you, that is you. And so that you can bring that power and presence to the conditions, altering the conditions, not being subject to them. I am not my condition, I am the cause. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, the divine presence within each of us is both the center and the circumference of our real being. It is the infinite presence that inhabits eternity. And it finds a dwelling place in our own consciousness. We recognize it as the only authority there is. We know we are one with it and in it, and there is no separation from it. Our own consciousness is the very depth and height of its being, and it is one with all there is. That's really clear. That's us. We are one with all there is also. Be that presence. Remember, and when you forget, remember. Use your word, whatever it is. We are that. We are that presence. It's not something you have to become or learn how to do. You came into the world as that. Be rooted in that truth that you are the presence. You represent Spirit in form. And keep reminding yourself when you forget And you get all wrapped up in the story or the pain or the limitation or the lack or the shortage or the heartbreak. Remember, you are the presence. Be the presence. Act as the presence. Know the presence walks before you and straightens out and clears your path and holds the light high. Because there is only one life. It's God's life. It is our life right here, right now. Thank you. Thank you.